Tonight I'd like to invite you back over to the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 reads this way. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, and Lord, asking you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, that you might be exalted and lives changed, beginning with our own, Lord. Bless and prepare Northwood Baptist Church to be found faithful, Lord, and that we might experience your great grace in a powerful way, Lord, that you would revive us and strengthen us for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is simply, and I was reminded really of what Brother Leo Myers used to say, "Overcomers passing through for the glory of God." Overcomers passing through for the glory of God. And that's what this text really shares with us here. And tonight we want to consider four truths that will enhance our walk with the Lord and our testimony before people. God wants to strengthen our walk. Do you believe that? God wants to give us a testimony that the world might see in our lives, look at our lives, and see the Lord Jesus Christ, and them say, "I want that in my life." Isn't that what it's all about? That God is the one that draws us and strengthens us and empowers us for his honor and glory and our blessings. So tonight we'll consider four truths. And that is, the first one is that we're to try the spirits. And then secondly, we're going to find the mark of the world. The world has a mark. And then also the mark of God. And then lastly, we'll consider the importance of the love of God. Not our love, but the love of God. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 1. And let us consider what the Lord is telling the believers here. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit." So this is the word of God saying, try the spirit, because just because they profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ or have some kind of a spiritual connection, and the world has a spiritual connection, the problem is it's the wrong spirit. It's not the spirit of God, it's the spirit of the prince of this world, which is Satan himself, and that's not what we want. And listen, there's more and more of the spirit and influence of the devil in the day and age in which we live than ever before. I mean, in the last 20 years, has it not ramped up? My goodness, it seems like in the last 6 years, things have gotten even more intensified concerning the influence of the world. People have hardly any regard or respect for one another. Do you see that? I mean, they just get mad at people, fly off at the handle at the drop of a hat. That's the spirit of this world. That's the spirit of Antichrist. It's not Christ-like, because the spirit of Christ is peace and love and joy. That's the spirit of God, and that's what's going to make us the light of the world. So he said, "Beloved," he said, "believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." He says, "Hereby know ye the spirit of God." Listen to this. "Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God." There have been people in the day and age of John the Apostle that denied the very coming of the Lord. Now, we have to stop and just think about that for a moment. The Lord was just there with them, and already he hadn't been resurrected very long, and they're already denying that he ever even came into the world. So does it surprise us that 2,000 years later, people are saying, "Oh, that Jesus was a fictional character. He was not anybody in history." 2,000 years later, if they were doing it just shortly after he was resurrected. So he says, this is how you'll know that this is of the Spirit of God, that we confess that Jesus truly has come in the flesh. And then notice verse 3, "Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." And this is that spirit of what? Antichrist. "Whereof ye have heard that it should come." It's going to come, and even now already is it in the world. It's already here. But listen to this. This is the best part. "Ye are of God," right? Little children, listen to this, "and have overcome them." Who's the them? The Antichrist.
The people that have the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of negativity, the spirit of hate, the spirit of being unkind, everything that is opposed and opposite to God, God is telling the child of God that we have overcome that. Well, how has that happened? Notice again, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. That's who indwells us. That was the purpose of God giving us the Holy Spirit, to be indwelt by his Spirit, that his Spirit might have preeminence and dominance in our life and guide us into the truth and not to be led astray like the world is being led astray. We were looking at this morning in Sunday school class in the book of Judges, and there's a theme that is repeated throughout that book, and that is that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now listen, it didn't say that every man did that which was wrong in their own eyes. It was wrong what they were doing, because they were given to idolatry. They were given to, oh my goodness, all kinds of heinous type sins that they were given to, but they believed it to be the right thing. They were children of God that turned their backs on God. They used the name of the Lord, but they weren't walking in the Spirit of God. They were idolaters. They were giving themselves over to these things, and God was chastening them. But listen, they were not walking in the Spirit of God. And so likewise, even in this day, is it possible for people who are children of God to not walk in his ways and to walk in darkness and to believe that they're doing that which is right in their own eyes? It's so important that we are, the flesh looks to what appeals to the flesh and the world. And so I'm convinced of this. The closer we stick to the Word of God, and I'm not saying that we can't do things, and I'm not saying that churches that are doing things differently than we are not doing the right thing, but we are wise and we'll be safe to open up the Word of God for worship. Amen? And we'll be wise to stick to the old hymns that proclaim the truths in the Word of God. It's not just one verse sung 7 or 11 times. I can't remember. Seven words sung 11 times and just repetitive. Because listen, if you stop and think about it, a lot of these people that are involved in these cults have this repetitive mantra. And the Bible says, oh, they think that because they say it over and over and over and over again, that God's going to hear them. And so we don't want to get caught up in that. We want to allow the Spirit of God to guide us into his ways. And so he says, we are overcomers. And we can be overcomers, and we have been equipped to be overcomers. And so that's the important part there. So try the spirits. Why? Because we've been equipped to be able to distinguish the difference between the Spirit of God and the spirit of this world. We need to be careful, because the devil is very deceptive. So again, in the book of Judges, it was the children of God that were deceived, and they amalgamated, they homogenized idol worship and use the name of the Lord. They brought it all together and mixed it up. But listen, you can't mix those things. God will not accept those things. We need to be careful that we don't say, listen, do you know what the problem with making friends with the world? Now, we're to be friendly to the world, but you know, we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. And here's the thing, it's happened in your life and in my life. I can like people, can't you? I'm talking about people that don't know Jesus. I can like them. But here's the danger in that. Not the liking them, but the having compassion, and to even thinking the way they think and championing their causes that are against what the Word of God is teaching. Now, as we consider the Word of God, there's a difference between God's way and the world's way. Now, here's the truth that the world doesn't understand. God does not want them to be destroyed. That's not the will of God. But listen, we must shine the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the power of salvation. There is no salvation any other way. So we have to stand for the truth, and we can, in all love, we don't have to be preaching to them all the time, but when they ask us, is this all right? Do you think this is okay? And if it's not all right, we need to tell them, and listen, I love you, but that's not all right in the eyes of God. I'm not your judge, but you will stand before the judge of all creation one day. That's the truth. And so why would we do that? Because that's the way to life. And so Again, I've used this illustration personally, and I think I told you about it. There was a fellow that I worked with many years ago. That just seems like yesterday, but and he was a product engineer, and he was coming in the clean room where I was working, doing some experiments and things of that nature, and he was foul mouthed, and boy, he knew I was a preacher. I didn't tell him. Somebody had asked me or something, and it just came out, and so he would make sure that he used all kinds of four-letter words for me to get under, it didn't bother me. You know why? Because I understood. Why is he like that? Because he doesn't know the Lord. And so it really didn't bother me, and I think it bothered him that it didn't bother me. And so, but anyway, I was cordial with him. I treated him with respect, and then one day we were in there alone, and I said this to him. I said, Rick, I said, if I had the answer and the cure for cancer and didn't tell anybody, what would you think of me? Oh boy, he was quick to say, I think you're the lowest, low down, good for, and he was clean on it. He didn't use any bad words. And I said, I agree with you, Rick. And I said, listen, I'd like to share something with you, because God has revealed to me the answer to eternal life, and it's found in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all leaving this world. And if we die in our sins, we will die condemned, but God has died in our place and shed his blood to give us his righteousness, not ours. May I tell you something? It scared me. He gave me his complete attention. He stopped what he was doing. He was looking at me, and I'm like, I was like impressed, really. I was like, because I didn't think it was going to go that way. And I will tell you, the Lord laid it on my heart more than I've ever experienced before to tell him the truth. I must have walked around and was doing different things in that clean room for about 15 or 20 minutes before I got the gumption to tell him. And I thought, okay, and I walked over there and told him how I introduced it. And he stopped and was just completely focused on my eyes. And I was sharing that with him. And I'm telling you, I could just, we were almost like good friends there. In other words, he was looking at me like somebody who was sincere and genuine. And I said, Rick, I said, you can trust the Lord now. Would you like to trust him as your Savior? And he said, just as kind as could be, no, not right now, but thank you for telling me that. But thank you. Seeds were sown. And God could take those seeds, and I pray, this has been over 20 years ago now, I pray that Rick saw his need for salvation as God revealed it to each and every one of us. And so listen, I could have said, oh no, you see, I don't want to offend Rick. I don't want to do that. Well, what would have been more offensive when he stood before the Lord and nobody to ever tell him and confront him with the truth? When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that he's trusted the Lord as his Savior. But if not, he'll not be able to look at me and say, why didn't you say anything? You knew, and you didn't tell me anything. And a lot of times, the reason why we don't is because we don't have the boldness, listen, that God gives to us to speak up when it's time to speak up and to be the testimony and to be kind and to be gentle to the world, but to have the Spirit of Christ speaking to us and walking with us and working in and through us. That's what it's all about. It's not us doing these things. It's God in us doing these things. That's the will of God. As you study, as you approach the Word of God, especially, you'll find it in the Old Testament, but specifically, listen, if you'll take notice, every time that anybody tried to do anything in the flesh, Ishmael was produced. All right, it's not the way of God. And listen, Abraham was a friend of God. When David tried to do things in his own strength, oh, listen, Saul's after me. I'm going to go run to the Philistine camp. Well, you know, he was getting ready to go fight against the Philistines, but God kept him from doing that. And then, of course, we know the sin with Bathsheba and other different things that David did. David would tell you that every time I tried to do things for God or what I thought was the right thing in my own strength, it never works out right. All right. Let's look at the mark of the world and the mark of God. Look at verse 5. These are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. So that's true. So when people are cussing and when they're, I don't like them to do it. I think, listen, out of respect, you know, even as a lost person, of course, this is years ago. I would never use bad. I'm telling you, I use bad words as a lost person, but I would never say that in front of adults or in public or some, maybe around my friends, but out of respect, especially if I saw a family, even in my 20s, if I saw a family there, I would never use foul language out of respect for them. We've lost that in our society anymore, and that can be evident. Listen, we were taught And driver's ed, why are you bringing up driver's ed? Well, this will make sense. We were taught in driver's ed that when you're merging onto a highway and you're in the lane where they're merging, you move over if you can. I'm telling you, I can't. And you probably, if you take notice of it also, you will take note that there is nobody in the other lane, in the fast lane, and they won't move over. They'll just sit right there, car after car after car. Now, not all the time. Not all the time. I do have people that will move over, and I will wave at them. I will make sure, and if they can look at me, I'm looking for them. I want to say thank you and tell them that I appreciate that, right? Because that's what's going to make, listen, if we are not the light, where's it going to come from? If God does not use us to be the light and the salt of the earth, we're not to be caught up in them. They don't listen to us because they're not of us, and they're not of the same spirit. By the way, neither were we before our salvation. We were not of the Spirit of God. And I may have thought, I'm a pretty good fellow because, well, really, I was concerned about what people might say about me, is why I wouldn't, you know, go off and do the things that I didn't want everybody to know that I was guilty of. And so that was the difference, there's a different spirit of the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world or do the things of the world, and the world heareth them. I'll tell you what, you can get somebody that's against Christianity rallied up. If they find out there's a Christian, they can get together. I'll tell you, in that circumstance, that they would cut up and talk and listen. The company policy was, maybe even today, company policy, that you're not to use foul language, but they still use foul language, don't they? Even if because it's not enforced. It's not enforced. We don't enforce our laws. Listen, is crime gone up in our society? Are there more murders? And it's all going up. I'm not a brilliant individual. But there's only one thing that needs to be done in order for the law to be obeyed. Can you imagine what that might be? Punish the evildoers. Give them consequences for what they're... Teach them. I told you this before, but it's so important. I remember it was my senior year. They took out corporal punishment. Paddling. You could no longer get paddled. But boy, that fixed everything, didn't it? I mean, boy, listen, nobody was skipping class anymore, because if you got caught skipping so many times, you went in for three swats. And no, that's not what happened. It got worse. When my sister got into high school, there were police officers outside patrolling. How about now? I never heard in all my days growing up of any shootings taking place at school. I don't know when the first one was. But if there was one when I was growing up, you never heard about it because it was something that was far and few in between, if it ever even happened in the 70s. I don't know. But I want you to know something. Things are not getting better. They're getting worse. Why? Because mankind is drifting further and further away from God and becoming more wicked. So he says they're of the world. But notice what he says in verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Did you hear what he just said? That's how you tell the difference. If people are of the Spirit of God, they're going to hear the Word of God. If they're not of the Spirit of God, boy, they're going to let you know it. In fact, we are the haters. That's what they want to... Listen... Why are we the haters? Because they're calling good evil, and they're calling evil good. And so, I mean, listen, the Word of God is being fulfilled right in front of us. Verse 7, beloved, so he's speaking to saved people. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, that is talking about an intimate relationship, an intimate knowledge of God. So our knowledge of God and our relationship with Him is determined by the love of God in us. And that's what it's determined by. The Bible is telling us, see, it's not, this is what we need to be careful about. Remember Israel? They started to incorporate idol worship in the book of Judges. And they professed to do what was right, but it was in their own eyes, not in God's eyes. And so today we have to be strong and say, just because the world condones it, there is more trash on media today and blatant trash that is against God, and it's a shame for God's people to have any interest in those things that God says are an abomination. And we listen, if we give ourselves into that, then we're doing that which is right in our own eyes. We need to call those things out that God says is wrong. And if we're partaking in any of that, ask God to forgive us and to put us on the straight path. And He'll do it. He wants to do it. You know what I'm afraid we think? Here's what we think. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I've fallen into this that the world is involved in. And so I just need You to forgive me. But I don't know how I'm going to get out of it. You'll forgive me, and I know You will, and I feel better about that, but I have no clue how to get out of it. God is the answer. He's the one that gets us out of it. So what do? By faith, Lord, I am not looking in that direction anymore. I am not looking to those things. You remember the simple man in the book of Proverbs? How she was a harlot. I think it's chapter 7. And the reason why was because he walked down her street. Well, guess what? Listen, by faith, don't walk down the streets. Don't frequent places and don't go by places. And even, listen, don't watch things that are going to take your heart away. God says those are an abomination. And so I turn away from those things, right? And guess what? God gives me the victory and I've got an occasion to praise God. Praise the Lord that he keeps my feet on the solid path. I don't have to give in to those things. And before long, you'll find out you'll have no interest in that. And you'll see it for what it is, the deception and the carnality and the destruction and the misery. And listen, there's nothing ever positive in the things of the world. The child of God ought to be on top side because it's the Spirit of Christ that empowers and brings joy into our lives. And so, again, our knowledge of God and our relationship with Him are determined by the love of God in us. Not by the love that we manufacture, but by the love of God in us that helps us to, empowers us to give the love of God to our families, to our church family, and to the world as well. All right, so again, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Why would he say that to believers? Brother John Smith brought a lesson for us in Sunday school class in the book of Judges. And he described it quite well. One of the greatest atrocities, if not the greatest atrocities, really, that was ever committed in the book of Judges. And this fella gave his concubine, and because they were wanting to do things with these men, with this fella that came by to sojourn, and he said, "Oh no, just take my concubine." And so they had their way with the concubine, and she died on the threshold. Listen, he took that concubine and cut her up in 12 pieces and sent it out. Well, where did that come from? That's debauchery by a child of God. Was that love? Was that the love of God? But he was a child of God. So the reason why God tells us that is because we can be a saved child of God and be void of the love of God in us. We could be missing the love of God. See, God is saying, I want you to know what the love of God is, so that if it's missing in your life, you can identify that and ask me for it. not manufacture it, but you can ask me for it. So he says this, ready? Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. So this was revealed. Verse 8 again, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested, this was this revelation of the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, don't let that go. How are we to live? I'm sorry, how are we to live? Oh, you mean we're not supposed to manufacture that ourselves? We're supposed to live through him. And if you don't know how to live through him, and here, I'm going to just be quite honest with you. I don't always understand it. But here's one thing I know. If I ask God, why would I ask God? Well, because he gave me the Holy Spirit that says, ask the Lord and he'll show you. And then when he does it for you, you can praise him for it. How do I live through you? Didn't we just read that? That would be a good question for us. Oh God, help me to understand more how to live through you. Help me to know how that works in my life. Because then you're going to say the right things. Then you won't even have to be careful about giving anybody a piece of your mind. You ever done that before? Don't answer. One lady told me, the only thing that's accomplished when you give somebody, when you throw dirt, is you lose ground, right? When you throw dirt, you lose ground. All right. That we might live through him, verse 9. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God. That's not love. That's what the Bible is saying. He's telling us that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's the initiator of love. Walk in that initiation of his love. Do you remember when you got saved? Was that a happy day when you got saved? Occasion to celebrate? And man, God wants every day to be like that. God wants to give you that kind of joy every day. And he wants it to grow. He wants it to get even stronger. That was just the beginning of that's why Paul said, for me to live is what? And to die is gain. Amen. All right, so our knowledge of God and our relationship with him is determined by the love of God in us. Not our love, his love in us. Lastly, we want to take a look at the importance of the love of God. Ready? Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, and he did, we ought also to love one another. So what he's saying is, did God love you through salvation? Did you experience the love of God? So we ought to love others as well. But we cannot do that in our strength. We have to do it through him. Isn't that what we read in verse 9? Through him. Okay. So this is what dwelling with God and abiding in Christ is all about. Remember, this is the Apostle John, who penned down for us John chapter 15. And by the way, that's where Jesus told the disciples that by the love that you have one for another, that's how people are going to know you're my disciples, because that's going to be the love of God if we're going to love one another. So verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, listen to this, God what? Dwelleth in us. That means, listen, that the love of God is functioning in our lives to where we can love one another. Some people mock the love of God. Oh, yeah, like the love of God is, you know, all they preach about is the love of God. Well, I dare say the Lord has a lot to say about his love. Because if you have everything else and not the love of God, Paul said you're just a noisemaker. You can have the faith to remove mountains. But if there's no love, what do you have? Nothing. Zero. And so, God says this is important, but not a manufactured love, a love that's been given to us that God manifests in our lives. So, no man hath seen God, verse 12, at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Now, why would he say that to believers? Because it is possible that God's not dwelling in us. if he's not in us. He's not talking about salvation. And his love is perfected in us. Wow. I didn't say that. He did. And his love, God's love, is perfected in us. Can we make the love of God perfect? No. But he can. In us. God's love is perfected. I didn't say it. God did. God's love is perfected in us. I understand what he's saying, but here's what I have to do. God, show me how that works. Show me how that works. I'm going to let you in on something. Ready? I'm in and out of that more than I want to be. I'm more out than in. I want you to feel good. It's not. Listen, but the truth is, God's love is perfected in us. So I'm bringing that truth that the Lord gave me to him and saying, God, your love, 90% of the time is not in me, and yet you indwell me. Now, I have my love. I don't want you to think that I'm mean to my kids and I beat them with a board or something. I don't do that. But that's still not God's love. I do good things for my family. That's my love, right? But that's not God's love. God's love helps me to love unconditionally because God's love is that, his love. Is God's love unconditional? My love is conditional. My love is conditional. How do you know that? Because I've been angry before with my own family. Because they did something and the love of God is gone. No, my love just ran out. And God's love is vacant there. And so, Lord, help me to understand. See, this is all good. This is all good. We see what God is saying and we say, God, we need you to help us understand how that is fulfilled in our lives. Because we want that. I want to be found faithful when I look into the face of my Savior who died on the cross, and I believe this, everybody at Northwood Baptist Church wants it too. Now, I will tell you this, sometimes I'm so filled with myself, I forget that. I get more caught up in me, and when somebody has wronged me, and that's not right, and I told you before, because the Bible says that that's not the grace of God, because the Bible says, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, which is the letter of the law, you don't have eternal life. You're not walking in it. You're not walking in the life of Christ. And so my righteousness has to go into the realm of grace, unmerited favor. And I can't manufacture that. If I do, it's fake. And I'm not enjoying it. Because if I'm trying to be kind, that's just the problem. I'm trying to be kind. And I'm limited. I am limited. I am limited. I am limited. My kindness will run out. God's love is infinite. God's patience is infinite. So listen to this. Ready? Verse 13. Hereby we know that we dwell with him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Is that amazing to you, how much God says that? Why is he telling you and I over and over that he has given to us and he has indwelt us with his Spirit? Because that is the Christian's power source. If you're using anything else, you might as well go pour water in your gas tank in the car. How far is that going to get you? Nowhere fast. In fact, it'll ruin it, right? It'll ruin the gas engine. Verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Did you see that? Listen, remember what Jesus said, abide in me and I abide in you. We dwell in God and God dwells in us. Question then, if God dwells in us, should we not be able to see God in us? And if we're not seeing God in us, is that not a problem? How many Christians go days, and days and don't see God in them. Oh, I didn't say that they don't manufacture kindness and hold their tongue or bite their tongue or do what they need to do. But they're missing out on God who dwells in us. And so that's the truth of the matter, that God wants us to experience Him in us. So verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love. There's that word dwelling again. That's abiding. If you're dwelling with someone, they're abiding with you, right? And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. I didn't say that. If the love of God is not there, then we're not enjoying God's abiding in us, God's dwelling in us, and God in him. Now, verse 17. And here's how we see the love of God perfected in us in the world. And this is the key verse, verse 17. Herein, listen to this, is our love made perfect, mature, brought to fruition, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. And the emphasis, the important part, is as he is. We need to be, we don't need to make ourselves, we need to be yielded and understanding what God is wanting to do in our lives so that he can have his will in us. We can have salvation and completely sidestep all of this. David fell into sin with Bathsheba. Do you think he was happy for that year? They say about a year before Nathan came up to him and told him a little story about the lamb. And then Nathan told him, "Thou art the man. You're the lousy bum." and then God restored the joy of his salvation. Then David wrote Psalm 51. We can miss out on the joy. So we got to look at all of our whole life completely. Are we filled up with God or with ourselves? Because those are the two choices. We've got to examine. You have to be willing to do business with God and stop putting up with the filth, the dross, the stuff that's the chaff, the stuff that's supposed to be thrown away. Stop holding on to it. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at me. Stop holding on to it. And give it over to we talk about giving it over to the Lord. We don't give it over to the Lord. We need to be serious with it. We need to look at it and say, God is not happy with that. And God has saved me and indwelt me to give me more than that. Because that's supposed to be thrown out. We are creatures of habit, are we not? Lord, help me to deny and open up my eyes that I might see what you want to do in me. Verse 17, again, notice, herein is our love made perfect. This is what God is saying, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Just in case, see, people are waiting, oh, I know when I get to heaven, everything will be made right. God wants it in this world. Did he say that? In this world, we can have confidence. In this world, we can be as he is in this world. I didn't say that. He did. Let me try that again. I didn't say that. He did. Praise God, he said it. I didn't come up with it. Now, here's the question. Don't answer out loud. Between you and the Lord, do you really believe that, or are you just going to walk the same way you came in? That's your choice. I don't need to know it. That's between you and the Lord. You've got to say, you know what? I'm going to stop being full of myself and ask God how to do that. And in fact, just put myself in God, just present myself and ask God to do it for me. That would be a sure way to get it done. Okay, Lord, here's the mess. Fix it. You know, when you pay a mechanic to fix your car, are you over there trying to tell them how to do it? How about this? You know, I wouldn't want to tell a surgeon how to do surgery on me if I don't know what I'm doing. Isn't our Savior the great physician? Man, it's just a win-win situation with our Savior. We've just got to come to that understanding and that illumination that God just wants us to bring it to Him and allow Him to fix the mess. But we first have to acknowledge it is a mess. We like to hold on to our mess too long. We do. That's our nature. We like to hold on to our mess. What's our mess? Well, you tell me. What is it that rubs you the wrong way? That's your mess. What is it that gets you upset? That's your mess. What are you going to do with that? I don't know if I'm ready to let go of that mess. Well, nothing happens really for the Lord and for His glory until you're willing to let go of those things. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, what do you have to do? Deny yourself? When we hold on to our mess, you can't come to God with stuff in your hands. You got to come empty-handed, then He can fill it. He can't put anything in your hands if it's full with you. You got no room. You've got to be willing to lay it all down. In fact, throw it all away and see it that it doesn't glorify the Lord. Come to God empty-handed and say, fill me. And watch what He'll do. And then when He does it, does that give us an occasion to praise Him? Absolutely. Verse 17, herein, and we're finished. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How's that? Because as He is, so are we in this world. That's God's word, not mine. I would have never come up with that one. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. He's trying to tell us something, isn't He? He's saying it more than once. Why? I'll just give you my testimony. I am hard-headed. I thought I'd hear one amen. There's three in here that I could have heard it from. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. I didn't say that. God did. He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know what he's saying? If the love of God is null and void in your life, God's absent. If the world can't see our love one for another, we're not showing that we belong to the Lord. Listen, or that He has hold of us. Verse 21, and this commandment have we from Him. Remember? Jesus told them, by the love that you have one for another, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. We are overcomers passing through for the glory of God if we will just present ourselves to the Lord empty-handed and say, God, show me the way. Bless me to understand. Open up my eyes. I understand salvation, but Lord, I need you that you might be honored and glorified. Would you stand as we go before the Lord in prayer and prepare for His invitation, an opportunity to say, Lord, do that in me, even right where we stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the understanding that it brings into our lives, and the opportunities that you present to us to experience you in a great and mighty way. Bless the invitation. Bless us, Lord, as your people. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.